On one of my pilgrimages to the Holy Land, my Jewish guide said this. He said, "Where two or three Jews gather together, there shall be a party." And boy, is he right. This definitely was true and still is true when it comes to the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. They love to celebrate that whole feast. It's a 7-day party commemorating all of the miracles that took place during the Exodus. I was there in Jerusalem for one of those festivals, Feast of Tabernacles. Think of Rockefeller Center at Christmas time and try to imagine the lights and the street musicians and people singing carols and merchants selling things on the street and people dancing and children enjoying all the sights. You got the picture? It was a big celebration. And in biblical days, one of the ways that they did this is they erected 4 giant lampstands with fire at the top of that lampstand. They tell us that it was 75 feet tall. Now, I'm vertically challenged. I don't understand what that means. And if you're that way too, just think of 12 of me stacked on top of one another. That's how tall it was. In fact, guess what? The Christmas tree in Rockefeller Center is 75 feet tall. But for the Feast of Tabernacles, they had 4 of these erected in the temple courtyard. What a sight. And there was a huge bowl on top of the lampstands, and they filled it with oil. And on each of the 7 nights, they would light that fire, and it symbolized the pillar of fire leading the Hebrews through the Exodus at night. And it also symbolized the Shekinah glory of God. Shekinah, that's a Hebrew word, and it means dwelling. And it signifies the actual presence of God. And it comes from one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament, which is from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, when they were dedicating Solomon's beautiful temple on Temple Mount. Here's what it says. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven. That'll wake you up. Fire came down from heaven, and it consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices and the Shekinah glory of the Lord filled the temple. Wow. I can't even imagine what a sight that would be like. But there's more. Listen. The priest could not even enter the temple because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground and said, "He is good. His love endures forever." Say that with me. He is good. His love endures forever. Say it again, but put the emphasis on good and forever. He is good. His love endures forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, those flaming lampstands in Jerusalem during biblical times, during the feast, had to be something extremely special to commemorate all of that. And witnesses wrote about it, and they said that it was so bright that it completely illuminated the entire city of Jerusalem at night. Wow, yeah. And to that, Jesus pointed to those lampstands, and he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And to that comment, the Jewish leaders said, Hallelujah, Jesus is Lord. That's not what they said. They were furious with him. They were angry with him. They wanted to stone him to death because he said such an audacious thing. But it says in the Bible it wasn't his time yet, so Jesus slipped away. He had a way of doing that. When Jesus said he was the light of the world, I wonder how the people reacted to it. Not the religious leaders, but the people, you and I. I wonder how they reacted to it. I mean, for instance, they probably knew, I'm sure they did, what it says in Genesis. It says in Genesis that God created the heavens and the earth, and it was all without form and void, and so God fixed it. The first thing that his creative mind came up with is he said, let there be light. And there was light. Was Jesus saying that he was the first thing to come out of the creative mind of God? Just asking. Here's another thought. Light exposes whatever is hidden by darkness. Was Jesus claiming to do that? Here's another idea. Light can also serve as a guide. Did Jesus ever guide us? Here's another one. Light can be used as a warning. Did Jesus ever issue warnings? I'm sure we could go on and on with examples like that. But when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, he opened a Pandora's box. In that statement, he revealed more about himself than could fill a seminary library. It is one of the most exalted statements that Jesus made about himself. To say that he was the light of the world. He turned all organized religion, Jewish and otherwise, upside down when he said that. It's no wonder that the religious leaders were very threatened by that comment. Nothing was going to be the same if the people believed him. In fact, it was going to be even worse if the people started following him. They couldn't have that. It made them angry, and so they became agitated and active. Can you imagine in that environment how difficult it must have been to be a Christian, to be a new follower of Jesus Christ, to accept him for who he said he is, when the religious leaders were that angry and that hostile? Many of them had to keep it a secret. And there were even some religious leaders in that category. Can you think of any of them? Nicodemus? Joseph of Arimathea? We won't talk about them, but there's two. But I wonder, how would you and I have handled that if we had been there at that time? If we had heard Jesus teach, if we had seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead and work his many miracles, and then we accepted Jesus, we might have kept it a secret too. Why? Out of fear. Fear of persecution. And that has not changed. That is still true today. According to Open Doors Ministry, there are over 50 countries in the world today where Christians face extreme persecution. 50 countries. They say that there are 380 million Christians living in those 50 countries around the world. And last year, in 2025, they report that 4,476 Christians, that we know of anyway, were murdered because they believe in Jesus. 7,679 were thrown out of their houses with their belongings and their children on the streets. No home, because they believed in Jesus Christ. 4,744 were put into prison. I can't imagine this. Do you think that there are any Christians in those countries who are fearful and try to keep their belief in Jesus a secret? You bet there are. I cannot imagine the horror that Christians face in North Korea alone. I read about them. It says that they are declared to be, quote, hostiles, end quote. Can you imagine somebody saying that Gloria Fick is hostile? And you can be killed just for possessing a Bible. I mean, David and Maggie usually have a Bible here. Chris usually has a Bible here. I think you have a Bible on your iPhone. You have a Bible, Karen? Yeah. You could be killed just for possessing a Bible. Christians in North Korea are denied access to food, education, and employment, and they are threatened with labor camps and torture and death. And there are similar situations in Somalia, Libya, Yemen, Nigeria, Pakistan, Sudan, Afghanistan, and more. And in that list is the country of Iran. And I left it out because of what's happening there right now. I wonder if it's going to change, or if the Christians are going to be free to say, I love Jesus. Thank God that you and I live in a country where we are free to express our belief in Jesus. Thank God. Don't take it for granted. However, those who walk in darkness in this country are trying to change that. In 2019, just 6 years ago, Hallmark put an advertisement on television for a movie that they created featuring a homosexual couple. Christians objected. So Hallmark pulled the ad off of the air. That led to tremendous backlash from the public and from advertisers. So what happened? Hallmark apologized, and then they pledged to run more movies with homosexuals in the future. Have you watched any Hallmark movies lately? You can't avoid it. Even in the most wholesome television shows on TV, we see unmarried couples living together, having sex, giving birth to children, with other characters celebrating the whole thing and cheering them on. Biblical Christian values are under attack in America. If you don't realize it, wake up. We are under attack in this country for our faith in Jesus Christ. Pollsters have revealed that in 1991, that was 35 years ago in case you're counting, there were approximately 6% of the people in America who said that they had no religious affiliation whatsoever. 30 years later, in the year 2021, just a few years ago, that number had increased to 29%. Nearly a third of the population of America saying that they had no affiliation with any religion whatsoever. And as a result of all of that, church attendance has been diminishing and diminishing and diminishing. Why? Is it because of fear that they might be persecuted for their faith like they are in other countries? No. It's more probable that it's because of fear that they might be embarrassed if someone were to say something negative about them. Now, be honest with yourself. How do you feel when somebody says something negative about you? Would you crawl into a shell and tuck your head in like a turtle and deny Christ because somebody might say something that made you feel embarrassed? We tend to retreat in situations like that. We pull back. We don't necessarily mean to hide our faith. We just don't mention it. Just don't talk about Jesus. In John chapter 9, verse 5, Jesus said, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And you know what happened when he said that? Or what was happening when he said that? He was healing a blind man who had been blind from birth, had no concept of light. But the light of the world gave light to that blind man when he said, "I am the light of the world." Brothers and sisters, once you were blind, but now you can see. Hallelujah! I love this song. Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness. Open my eyes. Let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I hope you can sing that. I hope you know those words in your heart. Jesus said, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." But then he ascended into heaven and he left the darkness behind. And that will be eradicated when he comes back. But right now, the darkness is still here. And John described it this way. In John chapter 3, think about John 3. Anything else in John 3 that you can think of? John 3, but this is verse 19. It says, "People loved darkness." People loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Can you think of anyone who would look at Gloria Fick and say her deeds are evil? Can you think of anyone looking at me and saying my deeds are evil? No, don't answer that question. Can Can I look at any of you and think that there's evil in you? Jesus lives in you, of course. The Holy Spirit is in you, but we are surrounded by evil. We are surrounded by darkness, and you know what? We love it. We love the darkness. Dr. Martin Luther King said this, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that." I'd love to have heard him say it. Now, I'm reading from the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5. Our Lord said, "You are the light of the world." We are the light of the world. Wake up, people. We are the light of the world. While Jesus was here, he carried the torch, but he ascended into heaven and he passed the torch to you, to me. We are the light of the world. Well, Harry, that's why I go to church. Jesus did not say he is the light of the church. He said he is the light of the world. He did not say that you were the light of the church. He said you were light of the what? The world. That's an entirely different mindset. It is so much easier to let your light shine when you come here on Sunday mornings and you're with people of like-mindedness and we worship the Lord together. So much easier than it is to let it shine out there in the world. Hey, I understand that. You understand that. I understand that you understand that. We're in this together. Now, in his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave some very colorful illustrations. He said, "You are the light of the world. A town set on a hill cannot be hidden." Now, if you were standing today on the Mount of Beatitudes, right beside it is another hill that's higher. And at the top of that hill, there is a little city. The name of that city is Safed. And it's been there since Jesus walked this planet. Still there today. It's built all of white stone. And when you look at it, and the sun shines on it, it looks like marble. It's beautiful. And I can just see Jesus on the Mount of Beatitudes pointing his finger. Hey, people, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And that's what he was saying to you and me. His point to us is, if we truly love him, our faith in him will not be hidden. It will not be a secret, because we are not ashamed of him. Amen? Have you ever been to a wedding? Of course you have. You've been to lots of them, probably. Don't you just love it when the moment comes when the bride comes through that back door and she starts walking down the aisle and her face is just radiant as she's looking at her husband and anticipating being joined with him, eyes fixed. Well, we are the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And when we look at him, our faces should be radiant. Here it is. Our faces should be radiant when we are with other people and we talk about Jesus. How's your face doing? Does it shine with the light of a bride? And don't forget this, the groom. Oh, the groom sees the bride. And have you ever noticed how many times the groom just can't keep his emotions in check? He starts crying with joy when he sees that bride of his walking down. Well, Jesus loves you like that. When you come to Jesus and he sees you, he just weeps for joy and wants to open his arms to you. And your eyes meet and it's love and it's bonding. It's life-changing. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad you're a Christian too. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Are you? Are you? Or do you need to put some more oil in your lamp? Oh, well, if that's the case, I have a caution for you. What kind of oil are you gonna put there? Have you ever been in a group situation where somebody took a picture of a group? Smile! And everyone plasters a smile on their face. Whether it's real or fake, out come the pearly whites or the pearly yellows, whatever it is. And that's not what Jesus was talking about. He wasn't talking about our going out into the world and faking it. He was talking about our radiance, his radiance within us, shining through us so that others can see him. I want that for me. I want that for you. It's more like this. It's like what happened in Exodus chapter 34. It says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and the two tablets of the covenant of the law were in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. Moses was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he could not help but radiate that Spirit even in his face. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. You prayed it. I challenged you. Do you know what you're praying? Do you believe what you're praying? If so, notify your face. Notify your face. Okay, as we draw this to a close, let's remember once more that we are in the season of Lent. Men put Jesus Christ on a cross, and they tried to destroy him. Darkness fell on the face of the earth when he was on that cross. But joy came a few days later when he walked out of that tomb. And that same joy is going to come back into our world when he comes back again. I could hardly wait. And John described it beautifully in that magnificent vision that we call the Book of Revelations. This is chapter 21. He said, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of the Lord gives it light, and the Lamb is the lamp. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I feel like a cheerleader trying to get everyone to cheer for you. And I know, Lord, that there's a fire burning in the hearts of my brothers and sisters. We love you, Lord. We love you with a passion. We may not always show it. We may be tired. We may be sick. We may be old. We don't always show it. But Lord God, I pray that you will help us to be the light in the world that you want us to be until we see you face to face. For every person here, Lord, under all circumstances, may we be that light. I pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.